Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Glad to have you along today as we talk about consumer scam issues, back-to-school concerns. You know, it's right before school starts. It's a whirlwind of shopping. I know that from experience because we've been doing a little bit of it here the last few weeks. There are lots of back-to-school tasks, and kind of important that we be diligent about our purchases, and maybe even more than normal, and otherwise you can have some frustrations. And Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen are with us today to talk about the back-to-school issues and other consumer issues as well. Sandy's administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. Thanks for coming by, Sandy. Appreciate it very much.
Yeah, good to be here this morning.
And Michelle Reinen directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection. Always great to see you, Michelle.
Good to see you. Thanks for having us again.
Well, back to school, the things usually, I mean, are there special things, Michelle, that rear their ugly head about this time of year?
Well, this time of year, there's lots of ads flying around, and we want to make sure consumers are getting the deal and the purchase that they think they're getting. So they just need to be wise, smart shoppers and be aware when they're out there in the store. So if they see an ad, make sure they understand the details of what it is they're going to purchase and take the ad with you when you shop. That way you know you're getting the price that you they advertised. And watch the shelf price and then pay attention at the scanner to make sure everything is coming out as advertised. And if not, speak up about it.
Yeah.
Pay attention to that receipt and mention something to the clerk if it's not coming out as you think it should.
Well, this time of year, I think it's common to see an uptick in spam messages. I know the free gift card deals that really probably aren't too free, Sandy.
We have noticed a real surge in these free gift card offers, and they come both by email and by text message. Consumers should, of course, be very, very skeptical of these. They're usually a $1,000 free gift card from a well-known retailer like Best Buy or Walmart, and you're directed to a website to enter personal information in order to get your free gift card, which, by the way, you never get. But there are a couple of things going on behind these free gift card offers. One is marketers who are just trying to get information about, you know, the number of people in your household, your income level, and that information will be sold on to other retailers and marketers. But the kind that we're most concerned about, of course, is the requests for social security numbers. Please verify your credit card number for us, that kind of thing. Because once you hand over that kind of information, of course, you're in for a boatload of trouble.
Yeah.
So just beware of these free gift card offers. I have not heard of one yet that is legitimate.
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, here's another one. This time of year now, of course, the Republicans are having their national convention, and the Democrats soon will be. We're in a political time period here. And, you know, political ads can't be blocked, apparently.
No, they are allowed.
And a lot of people know that, but
right.
Also these people call and say, well, we're doing a survey, political survey. So that might say, okay, well, I guess I have to listen to this.
Yeah, our no-call law allows political calls and political surveys, and these crooks realize that. And so quite frequently we have the phony political survey, which
right.
leads into a fraudulent pitch. And the one that we've become aware of recently is one that starts with a political survey and then says, well, guess what? You've won a free cruise to the Bahamas. And then you're asked for your credit card number to cover the port fees. So that's something else to be aware of, that crooks are using the fake political surveys to get a hold of your personal information.
Oh, man.
The tricky thing with that one that they're doing is trying to send you to a website that looks authentic. They have some information about the cruise, just enough to make consumers think that it might be legitimate. So just be cautious and watch out for that, as Sandy mentioned.
Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen, our guests today, talking about consumer scams, consumer issues of all types, hoping that you'll join in with your questions and comments as we move along. Maybe you've been a victim of a scam, or maybe you've avoided one. That's good, too. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or go to my Facebook page. Go to the Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a comment there. We'd love to hear from you. That's at the Larry Mueller Show. Now, the kids that are heading off to college, don't have that right now. But, Sandy, you've got one heading off to college.
I took one back last weekend, and I have another one going this coming weekend. So, yeah, there's a lot of shopping involved with back to college as well, but instead of buying pencils and paper, it's more the electronic gadgets, which that's a quite a price tag too. But what we like to tell people is that college age students are in the age group that is most vulnerable to ID theft, and there are a number of reasons for that. They have a lot of electronic gadgets. They do almost all their business online. They tend to move around a lot, so their mail doesn't always keep up with them. And either they're so focused on their studies, or they're maybe a little bit absent-minded, but for whatever reason, they tend to lose their laptops and smartphones, or else have them stolen. So another thing I want to mention, too, for moms and dads, these kids are new consumers as well. And that's another reason they're being targeted. They're less likely to reconcile their bank accounts and to look at their credit card statements. And you add all this up, and it creates a profile of a person who's more vulnerable to ID theft. And if they are a victim, it takes them longer to figure out that they've been victimized. And that all adds up into dollars and cents. So we do recommend that kids have access to a shredder at school. And
they're not that expensive.
No, they aren't. And you can buy countertop models that are perfectly workable.
Perfectly fine, yeah.
Sure, and they aren't that expensive. One thing to look out for are these pre-approved credit card offers that target college-age kids. And the problem with those, from our perspective, is that all you have to do is steal one, change the address on it, and you can set up a credit card account in somebody else's name without them knowing about it. You can go online and opt out of receiving those pre-approved credit card offers, and that's something that college-age students may want to look at doing. It's a pretty simple process. You go to optoutprescreen.com, and you'll be prompted to enter name, address, and some personal information. And that should keep those pre-approved credit card offers from coming to you.
Sounds good. And parents, note that.
Right.
Just in case.
Right.
Ryan in Waupaca, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. I just had a question about a service I've been using for the past 5, maybe 10 years, somewhere in between there. With my Wells Fargo banking, they have a credit score watch kind of service that I've been using, and I just wanted to know if it's something that's really necessary. There's a monthly fee associated with it, and kind of looking over my statements the past couple of years, they tend to add up.
Well, there is a federal law that requires the credit reporting companies to give consumers access to their credit reports 3 times a year.
Okay.
So you can do that yourself very easily by going to annualcreditreport.com And each one of the three credit reporting agencies, you can check that report once a year. So that's three times a year. You know, some people are comfortable doing that on their own, and they're organized and they can calendar it. And other people prefer to have a service like that do that work for them. So it's really a consumer choice.
Sure, sure. And I would say anything associated with them being more proactive or better. Let's say if something did occur, you know, is there more services available if you're in that versus...
Well, there are a variety of a number of investment companies and banks and credit card companies sell these kinds of services, and you can get a whole menu of, you know, different services, and, you know, it all comes with a price tag. So sure. It's up to you. Shop around for the best price.
Mm-hmm.
And just be aware that this, in general, is something that you could do yourself.
Yep.
Right. Oh, back to your previous comment. What was that opt-out website again?
It's optoutprescreen.com. And you'll be prompted to enter a name, address. You will be asked for your social security number. But many consumers don't realize that these credit reporting bureaus sell information about you and your credit scores to credit card companies. And basically what you're doing is telling them, I don't want that information sold about me anymore.
Oh, well, mm-hmm. Great.
All right.
Great service. Yeah, thank you.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling, Ryan. Appreciate your call. And Stella in Sturgeon Bay, hi to you.
Hi. We've been receiving 8 to 10 calls a day from a scam that we made the mistake of the first few times. Apparently, when we speak, when there's any noise on our end of the line, it's a robocall, and there's silence when you pick up the phone, and if there's any noise, then a live person comes on the line. And the calls, they ask for me by name, and they say that they're calling about my pennies account. We have no pennies account. We haven't made any purchases of the pennies for years. It's obviously a scam. And now what we're doing is we're just picking up the phone, and if it's dead, we hang it up without making any noise. First of all, are you aware of a penny scam, of this scam that's going around? And is there anything we can do to protect ourselves? The only thing I've thought of is to get a live person on the line and then call out to my husband and say, honey, will you please call and start that trace of this call for violation of the do not call list? I mean, that's the only thing that I've come up with I think would be a good idea.
Probably wouldn't work anyway. Yeah. What do you think, Michelle?
I think at this point, Stella, you need to follow through with what you mentioned. If you pick up the phone and no one's there, you need to hang up. If you have an automated recording, if it starts to change in style, don't hit any of the buttons. If they say, you know, hit 9 to get off the list or 1 if you're interested, just ignore all that and hang up, because they're reselling your information. They're marking you down as a live phone line and a live body for a potential scam. We haven't heard, you know, specifically at this point that there's anything going on, you know, with a JCPenney relation, you know, or scam that way. But we'll make note of it now today and keep monitoring that. But that would be a really popular account. So if they were just trying to take a random selection, their chances of hitting someone with that would probably be pretty good. So I think you just need to keep hanging up, see if you can get some phone numbers. You know, if you have caller ID, be writing down the phone number, and you can help us out by filing complaints with that information. A lot of these are international in nature, so they're hard for us to track down. But the more information we can give to our federal partners, the better success they'll have at being able to track them back.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Stella.
May I make one suggestion? You suggested that college students get a shredder.
Yeah.
A cross-cut shredder is a lot safer than a strip shredder.
Cross-cut shredder.
That is absolutely correct.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Stella. And the difference in the cost between the two of them isn't...
The cross-cut shredders are really coming down in price, but they cut it into little confetti pieces rather than the long strips. And as you know, if your strip is aligned just right with the print on the page, you can get a lot of information. That's the argument against the old-fashioned shredders.
Yeah. There you go. Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, our guests today as we talk back-to-school consumer concerns and, frankly, all kinds of consumer concerns here. I'm Larry Mueller. Cynthia Schuster, our on-air producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. Pleased to have you joining in as we talk consumer issues with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen of the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Derek in Round Lake, Illinois, up next with a question for you guys. So let's go there. Hi, Derek. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Mr. Mueller, and hello to your guests.
Mm-hmm.
For disclosure, I'm a writer based in Illinois. I'm currently writing a book on U.S. retail industry and how to treat consumers. It's going to be probably published early next year internationally. And I have a quick question, which I find very puzzling here in the U.S. Myself, previously living in the European Union as well as in Japan. For example, last week I was shopping supplies for my children and Sears as well as the local Office Max. And on four different occasions, among 20 items of purchase, the prices were different. What was advertised or was on the shelf. I brought those issues up to the customer service. I got the refund. 2 days later, I went back again to the same stores, and the prices were still overcharging. So my question would be simply, why in the United States, mostly in the office of either attorney generals, what have you, why do you guys don't have capability of going to retailers like you have, for example, many parts of the European Union, to basically, if you see comprehensive and repeated fraud, which defrauds consumers, to find retailers?
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, in Berlin, if the city or municipal appointed investigator goes in and see repeated pattern overcharges, the first fine would be around €300, which is $400. And then it goes out to higher, up to $1,000, up to, if it's the system doesn't improve, they can even yank the license from the business. So it's really puzzling to me where you put all the burden of vigilance and quote-unquote protection on the consumers themselves versus any kind of regulatory framework of really policing the business themselves.
All right, well, let's get some comments here. Sandy, Sandy Chalmers, we'll go to you first.
We do have weights and measures laws in this state and in all 50 states. It's a constitutional requirement in our federal constitution. We have a 15 inspectors that are out policing stores, retail stores, grocery stores on a daily basis. And when a consumer, Michelle mentioned how important it is to keep track of your items when they ring up. If you don't get satisfaction from the retailer while you're there, we certainly encourage you to file a complaint with us. Just give us a call and we'll have an inspector in that store within 24 hours. I wish I had with me the number of price scanner checks we do annually. It's in the tens of thousands, and we have a consumer confidence rate on the prices being charged to Wisconsin consumers in excess. It's above 99%. So consumers in Wisconsin can be very confident that they are being charged accurately.
Mm-hmm. But there's still that 1% or less than 1%.
Right. And we do take enforcement actions when violations are not corrected. And I can think of a number we've been working on just in the last couple of weeks involving LPG canisters. Consumers are being overcharged and not getting what they pay for. And we do, one retailer is being asked to pay a fine of $13,000, which is not a small fine. The important thing is that we are out there every day enforcing the state weights and measures laws.
So now in Derek's case, he might Michelle, be probably contacting you folks, right?
Well, actually, because it looks like Derek might be shopping in Illinois, he'll need to contact his Illinois attorney generals. But if he's ever crossing the border and shopping in Wisconsin, he definitely should contact our agency. And he should bring it to the attention of the retailer every time. Some retailers actually in Wisconsin offer like a $3 or 50 cent thank you for pointing out the error in their system for that correction and make sure that they give you a credit as a result of that. So file the complaint and we follow up, like Sandy said, in a timely manner. We have a number of civil forfeitures from companies every year. And if Derek needs information about our laws for the research he's doing, he can contact our hotline and ask for me, and I'll make sure that we get him copies of our laws and our penalties for the state of Wisconsin. And just to give out our 800 number for everyone, it's 1-800-422-7128.
1-800-422-7128, correct?
Correct.
All right, there we go. Thanks, Derek, for calling. I appreciate your call. I want to give Ann in Milwaukee a chance to join in. Hi, Ann. Thank you for calling.
Hi, good morning, everyone. This might be a little bit off topic, but what can be done about the at least weekly annoying robo-phone calls regarding reducing one's credit card rates? There's never a mention of a specific credit card name. I'm on the state and federal do not call list for years, but that doesn't help, and I do know to just hang up. But this is really annoying, especially with the significant increase in political-related phone calls, too.
Yeah. Well, that goes back to kind of what we were talking about earlier, Sandy.
Yeah, over the last 18 months to 2 years, these robocalls have really become a problem. And our state no-call law took effect in 2003, and it worked very well for a number of years. But with the advance of technology in the area of phone calls, voice over internet protocol, calls can be made extremely cheaply from anywhere in the world, which makes these calls difficult for us to track down. And now with cloud voice over internet, it's even more difficult to track them down. But what these callers are after is information about you. And some of these callers are after, as I mentioned earlier, the number of credit cards you have, the amount of debt you owe, and then that information will be sold to other marketers. So they're looking for leads, sales leads. What we're most concerned about is the extremely fraudulent robocallers that are after your Social Security number and bank account credit card numbers. So if I haven't gotten this point across yet, I want to say straight up, these calls are illegal. They're illegal under state law, and they're illegal under federal law. The best thing you can do when you get one of these calls is to hang up immediately as soon as that voice starts. If you can avoid picking up at all, even better. Whatever you do, don't press a button in response to one of their prompts. They'll usually ask you to press 1 to talk to a live person or press 9 to be taken off the list. What that does when you press a button is identify your phone number as a live number, and it also identifies you as a person who will respond to a fraudulent pitch. So that's the worst thing you can do, is to press a number. Eventually, these calls do slow down. They tend to come in waves. So all we can say is don't press a button, no matter what what they say will happen, a free cruise or whatever. Don't push a button, and you can always file a complaint with us, because we need to know what's going out there, out there.
Great. That's very helpful. So I guess I just have to have a lot of patience, because I have been hanging up and I have been doing a lot more call screening. So I guess that's the only way to combat it at this point.
Yeah, at this point.
Wow. Thanks.
Thanks, Ann, for calling. Appreciate it. Chuck in Tomahawk, thank you for calling. Hi.
Good morning. I have a question in regards to the U.S. Census Bureau doing telephone surveys. I've been getting calls from the Census Bureau, and I did some investigation to find out, in fact, whether it was the Census Bureau. And I did find out, yes, it was. But initially, I thought, well, why is somebody from Arizona and the Census Bureau calling me? Because they left a number, callback number, a case number. And, you know, after the third time that they called, and I said, I'm not giving you any information over the phone, send me something in the mail, da-da-da. I finally decided, well, I'm going to, because they said they wouldn't, I'm going to find out for sure if this is the Census Bureau. So I called the Census Bureau office in Chicago, and they indeed verified that they have services in Arizona making these calls. And, you know, and I asked the guy from Arizona, I says, to be removed from this. And they says, well, we can't. We got to keep calling you every month to get updated information every month. And I reminded them that I'm on a do not call list. And they're not a political campaign or a charity. The individual said, yes, but we're the government. We can do anything we want. No.
Well, no, they can't.
No, they can't.
You know, I mean, that's the attitude I was getting, and the calls continue. And I don't know what to do about that. My initial concern was identity theft. You know, once I found out, you know, it was the Census Bureau, it just angered me that they continued the call, so I tried to resolve it and both the Arizona people that I talked to and the people in Chicago and the supervisors in Chicago all said we legitimately can do this.
You know what I'd do? You know what I'd do if it was me? I'd be right on the phone to my representative.
Yeah.
I would be right on the phone to my representative and I would be telling him or her, look, I don't want... You know, I would explain exactly to them, and my experience has been that representatives, your congressperson especially, they have a staff that does nothing but respond to citizen their voters' requests. So I that's what I do, but I don't know if I'm doing the right thing, Sandy,
well,
or not.
Yeah, Larry, I think you're on the right track, and I know there has been a lot of chatter about the intrusive nature of some of these U.S. Census Bureau surveys. So I think that's a good idea. But to the caller, I think you're very, very wise to check on this because there are so many scams out there now where the callers claim to be from a federal government agency. And, you know, of course, you tend to trust somebody who says they're from the IRS or the FBI, but you just cannot do that anymore. So I really appreciate your diligence in tracking down to make sure that these people actually are who they say they are.
Well, I could even envision, you know, somebody from in Arizona finding out that, hey, this... We'll set up our own service here and say that we're with the Census Bureau. I mean, you almost have to go to the point of actually checking to make sure the phone numbers are the correct ones.
Yeah, there are a number of scams out there where the caller claims to be from Medicare, and that obviously targets the elderly who tend to be more vulnerable. But they say, would you verify your Medicare number, the number on your Medicare card, which of course is a Social Security number. So again, the caller is very wise to double check and make sure that they actually are government representatives.
Yeah, there you go. I'd still go and complain to my representative. They have a way of cutting through sometimes and getting results when others can't. Thanks, Chuck. Good luck to you. Tom in Wanakee moving to you next. Hi, Tom.
Good morning. Say, my question is regarding a computer warranty. Recently bought a new computer, and as you go to register, just register the computer, not necessarily because of warranty or anything, a statement comes up, an initial statement comes up that first you have to become a member of this computer or a member. And the statement comes up that you should be reminded that to register your product within 30 days from the purchase date to get the product warranty. And as I told you, your producer, I think that Wisconsin, and I think even nationally, that used to be that way. And Larry, you can probably remember when that you had to send in the card or it was void. Now, and I thought there was laws that passed that, no, you don't have to do that, and the warranty states have different laws concerning that, and I wanted to check with you what Wisconsin says about that or what our laws are.
Okay, well, let's see. Michelle, do you want to turn to you?
Well, some warranties would require registration just for some information depending upon the product. There are different kinds of warranties, and that gets into some legal terms, and I just don't have all that here. I mean, there's the limited warranty, there's the implied warranties, and then specific warranty that a manufacturer may offer. So we'd have to, if you have a specific complaint, you know, file that. We could take a look to see at what level we're at in the representation. Over the radio, can't just get into those specifics right now without looking at the law. But if you're being denied a warranty that's been represented and you've followed what it is they've said you need to do in order to receive that warranty, then we're going to have a consumer issue that we'd want you to file a complaint about.
Mm-hmm.
No, I guess I just get the hair, the few remaining, stand up on the back of my neck that when they start asking information that isn't pertinent, like age, mm-hmm. education level, sex, date of birth, it said age, and that has nothing to do with it. And then further in this statement from this computer manufacturer, which is China, says, well, actually Taiwan, says, and you also are subject to the laws of Taiwan. That's a statement in there, and any other laws of any other countries that you're operating the computer. And I thought, that's crazy.
Yeah, they.
So maybe I'll. I know the form is online and everything, and I've taken the information and put it onto a Word document, and I might just send it to you. I haven't called the company yet, which I'm going to, but I'll see what happens.
Yeah, that'd be great, Tom. I mean, what we advise consumers is give them the information they need that applies to the warranty, but the rest of that is survey information, and I don't fill that out on the few warranty cards that I send back, and I only send those warranty cards back on those big items that I may need a warranty for.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I'm doing this on a computer, and I'm doing it online, and it has some of the things are starred, so you have to fill something in. Of course, you can always fill anything in, but okay.
All right, thanks a lot, Tom, for calling. Appreciate it. Just on the whole PC business, as long as we're on that, Wayne wrote in on Facebook, and this goes to the issue of screening and hanging up on repeat calls. Wayne says, if you happen to have a PC with an old-fashioned phone modem jack, there's a freeware program called PhoneTray, phone, T-R-A-Y, that does an excellent job of screening and hanging up on repeat calls from offending numbers. You can find it easily with an internet search. So, well, worth a look, eh?
Sure. There are a number of things consumers can do. Most telecommunications carriers offer a number blocking service. Sometimes there's a charge, sometimes not. But for the lady who is getting 8 to 10 calls a day from the one number, you know, that may be worth 50 cents to block that number.
Yeah, absolutely. Bob in Sparta, thank you for calling. Hello.
Yes, good morning, Larry. You always have the best programs.
Thank you.
and the most interesting professional guests. Nonetheless, my wife had some shocks put in her vehicle last fall, and they were recalled. And we had quite a time with that. Instead of replacing the shocks and the struts, they sent four nuts. And I said, well, that isn't going to correct the problem. It's the unit itself. Well, we got a hold of the outfit, and they she had them replaced. And in the warranty, it says they will replace them, and they sent a recall notice, et cetera. And they paid for the shocks and the items themselves. But they're dancing around reimbursing her for the labor. Now, this has been going on since March or April. In fact, they won't even answer her phone calls anymore. The guy who she has been communicating with is always at a seminar or out of the office or on vacation or whatever he's doing. And so she uses my phone, which my number is blocked, just to get through. And I was wondering if there's something we can do, because it's stated right in the warranty or guarantee that they will replace the shocks plus the labor. And like I said, we got the parts, but we don't do all the labor.
All right, Michelle?
Well, at this time, it's time to file a complaint and help have your state office, Consumer Protection, help you out with this. This is something that, you know, it's in the warranty. It's directly there. They're not honoring that. We definitely want to take a look and have a conversation with the individual who's offered the warranty, the manufacturer, the repair shop, whoever it is, and follow up with them on that. You know, the repair shop needs to be paid for the work. If the recall happened at the manufacturer level, the recall outlines what should be covered by that payment-wise, plus you have an additional warranty on top of it. So,
well, we did pay. We had to pay the repair shop.
Yeah.
Right.
They could put a mechanic lien against it.
Right.
So we did that, but conversely, they're dancing. Well, like I said, they won't even accept her calls now.
Right.
Yeah, well, they'll have to accept calls from Michelle or Sandy.
Let me give you that 800 number again in our website so you can file that complaint. It's 1-800-422-7128. Or if you prefer to go online and download a complaint form, you can go to datcp.wi.gov.
Well, I sure appreciate your time and effort. And Larry, again, you got the best show on the radio.
Oh, thanks, Bob. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Sandy's administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. Michelle directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. If you have a consumer protection issue or question, I hope you'll join in. Maybe you've been the victim of a scam, or maybe you thwarted one, or maybe you have a kid going off to school and have some questions about that relating to consumer protection. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Actually, have open lines, rare, so we'll get you on fairly quickly. Email us at talk@wpr.org, and please go to my Facebook page. Post a question or comment there at the Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to hear from you. Sue in Milwaukee has a question for you, so let's go there. Sue, hi. Thanks for calling.
Well, good morning, and thank you. I was contacted, obviously, from overseas, but apparently from my computer or from Microsoft, and they said, we're going to clear up all your over programs, the unneeded programs. And I hung up immediately. The next thing they would have told me, and I know this because my son does it for me, is to type in certain letters and numbers, and that gives them total remote control of your computer. They can get all your information off of it in literally seconds.
Yeah.
Well, good for you for not falling for that one. That's a scam that's been around for a number of years, and what happens is that you'll get a call from somebody claiming to be from Microsoft saying, you know, we've detected a very serious problem with your PC. And as you say, they will prompt you to enter some commands that will allow them to take remote control of your computer. And from there, they can take any files they want. They can also load onto your computer malicious software that allows them to capture keystrokes. So that gives them access to things like your passwords and your bank account numbers and credit card numbers. So Microsoft even has devoted quite an area to this on its own website. And just be aware that Microsoft does not call consumers for any reason.
Right. That's what when I mailed the family and said, be careful. And my son mailed back and said, they never call you for uploads. They never call you for clearing your computer.
That's right. Absolutely correct.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Sue. Appreciate it. All right. Good information to have at your fingertips. We have more callers online. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. And frankly, a lot of callers online here. Tom and Brown Deer, let's go there. Hi, Tom. Thank you for calling.
Hey, I have a question that has to do with a warranty claim for house siding. The manufacturer is actually sending a representative over this afternoon to discuss the claim with me. And the warranty provides for either replacement of the affected material or for a prorated refund of the cost of the material. Now, heretofore, all they've offered is 150 pieces of siding, and it doesn't seem to be making any sense to me at all to accept the siding if I'm going to have the same problem crop up in another 5 years. I'd really rather try to force them to make a monetary settlement, which is in their warranty, but they don't seem inclined to do that. Is there anything I can do to encourage or induce them to do that?
Michelle?
Well, Tom, I think you know what your warranty states, and you push back and put it in writing and put why you want that in writing to them. And I would keep a paper trail of your communications with the company. It's great they're coming out on site to do the inspection. But you know the terms of your warranty, and you can assert those conditions as long as you're within your rights to do so and what the warranty states. And you may want to follow up and ask what they've done different to the siding to make sure that the problem doesn't happen again and get their responses in writing back from them.
Oh, yeah, I don't think they'll do that because there also happens to be a class action suit pending. So I don't think they're going to admit to anything. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yep. Good luck, Tom. Thanks. Kelly in Ashland. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a quick question. We bought a refrigerator, and it was relatively expensive. It cost about $1,300 in June of 2011. It broke a few days ago, and it's out of warranty. I did not get the extended warranty because I really expect my expensive fridge to break. But it did break this weekend. And I called Sears where I bought it. I called their two lines, and I've gotten no response whatsoever from lodging a complaint. So I don't know if, do I follow up with Sears Corporate or Whirlpool, or what do I do in this case?
Well, Kelly, I would make sure you are communicating with the manufacturer about it because they're the ones who built the product and need to stand behind their name. And while you may be out of warranty, be checking for recalls on the product as well. I mean, it broke, but is there a product safety reason behind it breaking that you want to follow up about a recall just to verify that's not the issue? And then just keep communicating with the manufacturer. And if you need to, you can file the complaint. I can't say we can definitely do something about it because you are outside of the warranty, but sometimes that at least gets you a prorated amount on a new. They sometimes help you get a new one.
Actually, okay. I had something like that happen to me with a stove. And the stove, about 2 months out of warranty, the stove went. And the local company was reluctant. You know, it was beyond the warranty. But I asked for the number of the regional office, and which is in Chicago, and talked to the regional person, and they said, "Oh yeah," and they took care of it right on the, you know, a quick phone call. The local folks then came out, replaced the stove, and things were good. I was very happy, and that was Sears. So
great,
there you go.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Alex in West Allis. Let's see. Oops. Oh, we'll get him.
For over a year now, from companies which are looking for a particular cleaning company, and I understand that the cleaning company posted my number on the internet for their company. And they've been robocalls, and I've been hanging up on them because they always ask me to call back at a certain extension, and you've warned not to do that. And once in a while, I get a real person. Once I got a real person, and I found out they were bill collectors or debt collectors. Another time I got a real person, I found out it was the phone company sales department, my phone company. And I told them about the error, but nothing's changed. I'm wondering how to pursue things. Should I respond to these robocalls and tell them they had the wrong number, or just hang up?
Oh, so I missed the first part of your statements, or the first few words. So why are you getting the robocall, supposedly?
It's a cleaning company that they're seeking. They're saying, if this is a cleaning company, then call us. If this is so-and-so cleaning company, call me back at this number.
Okay. All right. Now we got it. Michelle, what do you...
I just keep ignoring the calls and let the messages stand and hang up on them when you've gotten them. I got that for a little while, and you just ignore it. They'll go away. If it's legitimate, they'll understand that that's not the person or the entity they're trying to reach. And if it's a scam, you're not getting involved in verifying that you're a live number and someone that they can go after.
So just hang up then.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, thanks a lot. Mike in La Crosse, hello.
Well, hello, and thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My wife taught me a couple of things, and my wife is a guru for me on computers and phones. On the other hand, I'm the guy for a simple TV remote and a VCR remote, and she cannot figure those out.
Okay.
Be a hero sometimes. Anyway, here's what she told me. If you're getting repeated calls from some source, marketing calls, simply put that number in your phone as if it were a person and give it a name like ZYPDW, something you recognize as an unwanted call, and it'll come up and you just don't answer it. And it works well for me.
Let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's simple to do and it works. Another one she told me is if you do answer and it's somebody you don't want to talk to, just start pressing pound, pound, pound over again. And she seems to think that that gives them the message that you're not a good guy to call.
That's probably not a good idea.
And why?
That one just verifies there's someone there responding to the call. So we tend to, from what we've learned from our federal partners, you know, adopt the method of just hang up. Don't hit any button. Just hang up.
Okay. All right. All right, thanks for calling, Mike. Appreciate your call. We have more callers here. Chris and, oh no, I'm sorry, Ed in Milwaukee. There we go. Hi, Ed.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
The question I have is, I have a recall notice on a car, and they say they have to have the car all day. The dealership's 25 miles away. Are they required to give you a loaner vehicle when it's a major inconvenience for you to get there and back home?
Unfortunately, no, not that I'm aware of. The car dealerships, you know, bow down to the manufacturer as far, because it's a manufacturer recall, and they are covering the recall itself and the problem there, but not all the extras that it costs consumers to deal with a recalled product. So you can contact the manufacturer and see if you can work out a deal like that, you know, before you take it in and see if they'll do an exception. But there's no requirement that they follow up and actually take care of the consumer's inconvenience.
Yeah, sometimes they will, though. There's companies out there that will.
Doesn't hurt to ask,
right?
Yeah, it certainly doesn't hurt to ask.
Yep, I've asked the dealership, so I guess I'll try the manufacturer. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. Well, at my wife's dealership, where she got her car, and she actually loves to go in there because they have so many conveniences for the customers. And she says it's a very pleasant experience when she goes to have her car serviced or whatever. She can do work there and get things done, and friendly staff with food and drink and everything else while you wait. Or they will give you a car if you want. But she said, why leave? I've got everything I need right here.
Right. I get a courtesy ride to work if I want.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a full day, they'll sometimes give me a car. So,
yeah. So there's that. There are some people out there that do a good job with customer service. Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen, our guests today, and they are talking about consumer concerns. We started on back to school, but we've been taking a whole variety of things, and we'll continue to do that right up until 12:30 today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. When you try to stretch your budget, it's understandable that you might find deals more resistant or irresistible than others. Sometimes you get something really great, and sometimes it doesn't work out so well. Larry Mueller here, glad to have you along on the Ideas Network, talking about consumer protection issues today with a couple of guests, Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. They're with us until 12:30 today to help you answer your questions, find out what experiences you've had, and you can get to them by calling us at 1-800-642-1234. Also appreciate going to my Facebook page. Go there to the Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or comment there, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. When you're at the Facebook page, click like while you're there, and we will send you regular updates on upcoming show topics. We'll be back right after the news. In the course of a week or a month, you act as a consumer many, many times. I'd bet on it. I certainly do. Paying bills, you got utilities, you might have rent, mortgage, buying prescriptions, subscriptions, items online, going out to eat, buying groceries. Lots of transactions out there. And I'll tell you what, sometimes most of the time they're great. Sometimes things happen that aren't so great. Talking about it today with Michelle Reinen, Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection, Sandy Chalmers, Administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection from the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. They're with us once a month or so to talk about consumer protection issues. You may have a question or comment for them, and if you do, I hope you'll call us at 1-800-642-1234 or post a question on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to hear from you. And I'll tell you what, Sandy and Michelle, there are lots of people online. Every one of our lines is filled. So let us go to the phones and Darlene in Green Bay first. Hi, Darlene.
Hey, Larry and Michelle, you are beautiful and I thank you.
Ah, you're welcome.
Oh, my goodness. I'm an independent woman, a former teacher. I am living on Social Security at the moment. I have no cable TV. I have only public radio, and I would like to have computer service. There was an advertisement from AT&T that will give you computer service for $15 a month. So, me, like a dumb cluck, signed up. They turned me on first, and then they came a week later to hook up the modem. A few days after I signed up, I got a bill for $75 for a month and a half service for internet hookup. 4 days later, I got a bill for $265 for the computer and modem hookup itself.
Ugh.
I didn't understand. I've been fighting them since late January. You call them, you get, maybe you get an operator with a script, and then she, after you talk to her, first you wait hours to get connected to them. Then they give you a different 800 number, and you get the same thing again, and you wait another half hour. And this goes on since, from January to March, I was on the telephone with them way over 20 hours.
Ugh.
Finally, I said, this is ridiculous. I can't get anybody. I can't get any help. Wrote him a five-page ugly letter to the head CEO, returned the modem, shipped the modem back to them, and said, I'm going to be without computer service because I can't afford it. And never an answer, never a call back. Finally, the $265 was erased from my bill, just a little bill that came instead of credit. But I still had to pay the first $75 for a month and a half service. Everywhere I go, I say the words AT&T, and the people in the room just howl, like, oh, my God. Now, why do you get complaints about AT&T, and what can be done? Like 25 years ago when the federal government kind of shut them down or slapped their hands, why can't that happen again?
Okay, well, Michelle, what's your comment?
Well, your question was, do we get complaints against AT&T? And yes, we do. And we deal with each complaint individually with AT&T, and we continuously monitor their company practices for trends to see if there's any pattern of conduct there that we would have any authority to investigate and pursue any kind of enforcement action. We do that with every company that we receive complaints against at the Bureau. So this, you know, the $75 that's left, you've gone to tremendous effort to try and resolve this yourself and get everything taken care of. At this point, you know, I'd encourage you to file a complaint so we can look into this $75 and see the representations made to you and then what was charged to you, so we can add that and compile it to analyze for those continuous patterns of conduct. In the past, you know, we have had different investigations against many companies, and they've been one of them, and different issues than this. So I'd encourage you to file that complaint.
Okay. Good luck. Thank you, Darlene, for calling, and I hope this works out for you. Please do. And the complaint, you can call 1-800-422-7128. If you'd like to file, get a complaint form, or go online to the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection for it as well. Rita from Cambria emailed, a home care nurse, one of her clients received a letter in the mail explaining there was money remaining from his father's estate. Father passed away 4 or 5 years ago. The letter explained that if he signs a release from allowing this agency to recover the money, he would receive 80% of the money. We looked his father up on the state treasurer unclaimed funds and did find him there, but the estimated amount is under $100. Anything that he should call your agency about? It sounds to me like this is something he can get the money himself.
Exactly. And there are a number of those. They're not really scams per se, but it is certainly something that they're asking you to pay money to do something that you could do yourself for free. And we had another example not long ago in the southeastern part of the state where somebody was claiming to be some kind of real estate document service, and they could get a copy of your real estate documents for, you know, $50 or something. Well, you can go down and get them yourself for $10. So, yeah, it is an issue, and you certainly can call us and file a complaint. And that way, if nothing else, we can warn other people about this.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Ann in Green Bay, hello. Thank you for calling.
And thank you. I have a Chevy HHR that I purchased in Washington State, and now I live in Wisconsin. I just now received a letter from the company that
there might be a problem with my car, and I never even thought about it. I don't know if there have been recalls or any other problems. Somehow or another, my paper trail didn't keep up with me. Is there a number that I could call that would help me understand what I should be checking with my car? I'm starting to have trouble with it, and I'm finally dawns on me I never had any recalls.
Mm-hmm. Michelle?
Well, usually with automobiles, you could go into a Chevy dealer and they could put in your VIN number and then run it to see if there are any recalls against that. You can also go to the nationalrecalls.gov site and pull up your make and model of vehicle and look at the recall lists themselves. But when you use the VIN number at the dealer, if they're willing to do it for free, they can look specifically to your date, time period, and issued if there's recalls. And they may really do that as a courtesy because now you're a potential customer. So I'd just give a call and see if they'd be able to just hook it up to the diagnostics and run that.
Okay. My frustration with the local dealer was that I took it in for a problem. It turns out it might be one of the things that they admitted was wrong, and I really got a cold shoulder. They did not help me at all. I took it to a different place, and they said, oh, yeah, that was something that should have been taken care of. So the local dealer, should I go to the next local dealer then?
I would go to the next local dealer.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And there'd be more than one in that area for sure. Let's turn to Jim in New London. Hi, thank you for calling.
Good morning.
Hi, what can we do for you?
Well, I have this irritating thing happening. That I keep getting these phone calls that this is my last possible chance to lower my credit card rate. And I don't have a credit card rate that I want lowered. But I can't get these people to understand that I do not want that phone call. Is there any way I can get rid of those calls?
No, there's a lot of phone call questions today, haven't we? Boy, oh boy, oh boy, Sandy.
I cannot tell you how irritating these calls are to most people, especially people who are home during the day. The best thing you can do is when you get one of those calls is to hang up immediately. Don't engage in a conversation. Don't press a number, no matter how wonderful, you know, whatever they promise you, don't press a number. As we explained earlier, most of those calls originate from overseas. Many are fraudulent. They're after some kind of personal information. And very, very few actually have anything to do with lowering credit card interest rates.
Yeah.
So just hang up when you get them. If you have a caller ID, screen your credit card, your calls. And if it's not a call, a number you recognize, don't even pick up.
And sort of similarly, and we've also been talking about this, Catherine on Facebook, receiving a lot of junk mail from the same source, touting different products, she unsubscribes, she clicks that, but they still keep coming. And there again, is this the fact of that she actually clicked on something make it worse? That's what she's wondering. Yeah?
It very well can make it worse. So if it's something you signed up for, to unsubscribe is a good thing. But if you've all of a sudden started to just get emails from some place you never asked to get them from, just put them in the spam folder, delete them away.
Rose in Blanchardville, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. My situation was I changed television from direct to Dish,
yeah.
And I kept getting billed from direct, and this happened in March, it happened in April, it happened in May, and I was really up about it because this was costing me $200 every time they billed me.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know what to do, and I thought about it for a while, and I thought, well, I'm going to call my credit card because they're the one that they're taking it out of my account. So I called Visa, and I told him what the situation was, and he says, oh, we'll take care of it for you. And it was just like that. It was taken care of. I got the money back into my account, you know, and I never got billed again. So I don't know if people know that they could call their credit card and have all that stuff taken care of.
I got to tell you, I've had almost very similar experiences with my credit card company than on a different matter, but they're very, very helpful.
Yeah.
They don't want, you know, they don't want their customers getting charged incorrectly. And they're happy, and they seem to be happy to help.
Well, we had a problem with AT&T about 6-7 years ago, and I would never recommend them for anything.
Well, I thank you very much for calling. And you guys agree on the credit card
business,
Michelle? Absolutely.
Paying by credit card gives you extra protection. You just need to be monitoring that bill every month to make sure you're not getting charged for things you didn't actually purchase. Pay attention to services that you've ordered and make sure you're getting what you expect. And that way you can file disputes with your credit card company in the appropriate time frames that they set up. But on the Dish and Direct switch that she did with the mm-hmm. satellite, I just want to follow up with that and make sure that when you cancel with a company, a satellite company that you're doing and you're not face-to-face, make sure you contact them, cancel appropriately over the phone, and then ask for a follow-up letter in writing. So that way you have documentation from them that you even canceled, just in case something like this continues and it doesn't work out as well with your credit card company.
Yep, good ideas. Thanks, Rose. And Kurt in Chippewa Falls. Hi, Kurt.
Yes, good morning. About a year ago, we purchased a new refrigerator, a local dealer, and within several months after that, we started getting offers and warnings from what I think is a third party. Hard to tell whether it's from the manufacturer or not, warning us that when the manufacturer's warranty is over with, there'll be terrible expenses if anything goes wrong with it, and we should purchase this extended warranty with an upfront payment and then a monthly charge as well. Now, what's up with that?
Sounds like a good deal for that company.
That is a common tactic now, and Larry, your listeners know that they try to sell you those extended warranties even when you're in the store now at a lot of retailers. Yeah. So, you know, just read the terms very carefully, and it's your decision whether you believe it's a good deal for you.
Yeah, and a lot of times it isn't.
Right.
You do the math behind it. Do the
math.
That's
right.
Yeah. Thanks for calling. Roger in Dunn County. Hi.
Hi. The question I had a cell phone system. I've had these people for 6 years. I worked with them for 4 years while their contract, you know, just kept paying my monthly dues.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went with another company, and they canceled, you know, them out, and they gave me a bill for 2 weeks I didn't use. You know, they billed me for the whole month when I quit them halfway through and I didn't even have a contract with them. I don't feel I should pay for 2 weeks I didn't get any work, you know, service out of them.
Okay. All right, well, see, Michelle, do you want to take that?
Well, we'd want to take a close look at that. You say you weren't under a contract anymore, so there shouldn't be any early termination fee issues, but most billing is done on a monthly allotment, and you're entitled to your service on a monthly case. So we'd want to take a look at your original contract to see how they do their billing, see if it broke down by, if they can break it down by weeks that way, because you're usually just paying a monthly fee for use of the phone. It depends if you have a flat rate or what kind of service program you were signed up for. So
okay.
Be one of those areas to file a complaint.
Right. Have you talked to your cell phone company yet about this?
I wrote them a letter, explained to them in detail why I was doing it this way. It isn't the money. It's the principle of the matter.
Huh?
You don't be paying for something you don't get. If they wanted to charge me for them 2 weeks later, earlier, longer, they should have left that number active all the time, even though I would have two cell phones at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Feel free to file a complaint with us. The number, again, is 1-800-422-7128. And as Michelle says, we'll have to take a look at your original contract and see what the terms are.
Well, if they cut the service halfway, halfway through the month, you'd think, okay, well, we're no longer, well, that's what you'd think, but The company thinks otherwise, probably.
That company probably has very smart attorneys writing its contracts.
All right. There you go, Roger. Good luck. Thanks for calling. And the number again for the complaint, 1-800-422-7128, that number. And Randy in Fond du Lac. Hello. Thank you for calling.
Well, hi, Larry. I wanted to ask your guests if they would address this issue. I live in Fond du Lac County, of course. And a couple of years ago, the taxing authority here implemented a 0.5% county sales tax for a loan to Mercury Marine to keep them from leaving. And since they implemented that county sales tax, just about every receipt that I ever receive from any purchase in Fond du Lac County does not reflect the 0.5% county sales tax. It generally will just show Wisconsin tax, 5.5%. And I don't think that's right. That's not truth in documentation. I feel that the proper and correct thing would be for every merchant receipt to show that Fond du Lac County is charging 0.5%. How do your guests feel about that?
So they're taking the money, but they're not showing it? Is that it?
Yeah, any receipt of any purchase that you make in Fond du Lac County, there are a few exceptions of people that are doing it correctly, but the majority do not reflect, the receipts do not reflect, 5% Wisconsin tax, 0.5% Fond du Lac County tax. And I think that's wrong that they don't show that.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess I can see that you're viewing this as a consumer issue, but it's something that we don't have jurisdiction over under the state laws. I would suggest that you call the Department of Revenue for information on this, and if you don't have access to that contact information, you can call our hotline information or our hotline number, and we can get you the correct phone number.
And that's 1-800-422-7128. So we've got that. Thanks for calling. Elaine in McHenry, Illinois, emailed. There's a website called consumerist.com. Been successful for consumers in bringing shady business practices to light. A lot of times negative publicity or even just the threat of it is incentive enough for a business to pay attention to a consumer's complaint. Consumers can write to Consumerist with details about their experience. Comments on that? Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, it's a well-known
Sandy?
Website.
Yeah.
There are a number of consumer-oriented publications out there. Almost everyone knows Consumer Reports,
yep.
A very well-respected organization. But her point is well taken, that there's something about the internet that's added a layer of transparency to consumer transactions, because you can go and see consumer reviews on almost any company out there from people who have actually experienced what it's like to do business with that company.
So, yeah, so there really is a lot out there now. But even that, we were talking about, not always, there can be misinformation on those, some of those sites as well, can't there, Michelle?
Sure. You always just need to balance what you're reviewing and consider the source and maybe the individual experience that is behind it. And so just take everything into consideration when you're trying to make your purchasing decision.
So once again, if people have a complaint or a question, the best place probably to go is to the hotline number. What happens when they call that? Is there a person there, or what do we do?
You can get a person. We have an IVR system, just mm-hmm. so everyone's aware. So you can leave a message if the calls get backed up. Otherwise, you can talk to a live body. We direct people to our no-call area and give them that number if they're about to do registration. And that's a hot topic this week, since our registration period ends tomorrow for the next list. So make sure all your callers get registered for no-call this quarter if they're not currently on the list or need to renew. So we'll give that number. It's 1-866 1-800-966-2255, and that's just to register for the no-call list. But yeah, a consumer hotline person will help answer questions, send out complaint forms, direct you to our website, and give you valuable information, do a business inquiry.
All right. And as always, thanks so much for coming by, you two. It's always a pleasure, and look forward to our next visit.
Thanks, Larry.
Appreciate it very much. Sandy Chalmers, Administrator of the Division of Consumer Protection, and Michelle Ryan, Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection, our guest, and they'll be back in probably a month or so. We'll do this all over again. Always great to have them with us. And great to have you listening. Stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network.